Welcome back to the Thermodynamic Podcast. I'm your host, Jayden Miller, and today I have on the podcast Meg and Teresa. So we talk about all things in regards to kitchen hacks, our go-to recipes, our go-to snacks, some of the tools that we use, and then we also branch off and talk about some supplements to fight stress and to help us kind of keep ourselves aligned during hectic times. So super excited for this one. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Welcome back to the Thermodynamic Podcast. I'm your host, Jayden Miller. And today I have a group podcast for us with Teresa and Meg. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Super well.
Awesome. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about kitchen hacks. So what would y'all say is the most significant kitchen hack that y'all have come across to date?
Meg, you want to start?
I'll start. So, if you've not heard like of who I am or anything like that, I think it's important to note that I am, first of all, I love studying food. I'm a nutritional therapist. I love understanding how food works in the body. I also hate cooking and am not one of those nutritional therapists that like wants to make their own bone broth and enjoys the process of it. I wish I was, because I feel like it makes sense. Like that's what I should, but I sincerely don't enjoy it. Maybe it's my season of life. And then in the season of life that I'm in, I have a almost 3-year-old who only goes to school 2 days a week. So I have him full time. I run my business full time and have employees. And then I also, my husband is in paramedic school, clinicals, finishing his degree, and a firefighter. So basically I see him once a week. And so with all that said, I think it's important to understand my kitchen hacks are going to be like survival. And I think it's realistic, like, you know, to any moms or anybody that's out there, that's just kind of like, I am surviving. Like I got to do quick. Girl, got you. You know, boy, got you. That's how I live my life, is like, what is the quickest way I can eat nutrient dense foods? So This is going to be a super easy tip. And the first is, I'm going to do two parts here, Teresa. And then, so the first part is that keeping an Excel sheet of recipes that your family liked and that went like was easy for you. So the hardest thing that I have, and maybe it's everyone, but me specifically, is it is mentally exhausting for me to think about a meal that everyone's going to eat. Like, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy coming up with ideas. I don't enjoy looking it up or reading a recipe book or anything like that. It's not fun for me. So I love going to an Excel sheet where it's just like, oh yeah, okay, that's so easy. Like, oh, that's already worked for our family. We already really liked it. And then it just kind of takes the guessing out. So that's hack number one. And then I know this like whole episode is about it, but in that, I also have like go-to recipes that are very easy. My first and favorite recipe that we probably do once a week is I buy no nitrate sausage. You can also get it from your local farmer. But if you're going to a grocery store, you look for like no nitrates, you know, highest quality as possible. Whole Foods, if you live in the East Coast or West Coast, they have like a Sprouts. And just any of your, you know, more holistically minded grocery stores. And so I'll cut up my sausage, maybe some, you know, onions and, like zucchini, squash, and usually a sweet potato. And I just saute it and I leave it alone. And then I go about, you know, running around my household, trying not to get my kid to, you know, color on the, I don't know, walls or car seat like he just recently did. And I also have two dogs that are, like I mentioned previously before we started the podcast, that are pretty much like each dog is its own two kids. So it's just crazy. So I really like that because of my lifestyle. It's just like the easiest recipe, and it, you don't do anything. You cut it up and then you leave it on the stove for like, you know, 30, 45 minutes until everything's fully cooked. So that was what, when we talked about like kitchen hacks, I was like, ooh, survival. Those are my go-to.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I don't have kids or dogs, as we are also just talking about. But over the years, trying some of the most extreme diets in order to heal or feel better, my taste buds have really changed. And where I used to kind of plan my day around or week around like farmers markets trips and like what I'm going to cook tonight, what I'm going to cook tomorrow, like the different herbs I'm going to add into it. Now I'm so much more about like what is delicious, simple, available so that I can eat it, digest it, feel amazing and get on with my life and like get back outside. That's really my focus right now, especially when it's warming up. And I really like foods that can turn into other foods. And I also like them cold. So what I've been doing recently is cooking a bunch of protein. Actually, I've been digging chicken breast, and I know there's a lot of hate on chicken breast, but hear me out. I cook it in a mushroom bone broth, adding extra gelatin into the pressure cooker until it's like kind of like fall apart. So I'll take out the meat, put it in the fridge, and I've got like a very versatile protein that I can use cold for, you know, 2 or 3 days or so. And then I use the broth for savory gummies, which I think are kind of delicious and underrated. I find myself really craving like that salty, gelatiny, gooey, jiggly texture, especially before bed. And I feel like it's just so versatile and so easy. And there's something about the pressure cooker that, like, just looking at it, it's across the room right now. My heart just opens up when I realize like that allows me to do so much with my life. Because like you, Meg, I love being able to stick something in, literally walk away. I can like take a shower. I can go out. I can get to work. And then, you know, it's ready. It's safe, assuming that it doesn't explode. So I'd say, yeah, the biggest kitchen
hack. Yeah, I was going to say, if my husband heard me say how much I walked away from him being a firefighter, the soap, he'd probably panic, but...
We need to get you an Instant Pot. Yeah. And I have no affiliation. Yeah. But there's something about it. It's like the ease and the deliciousness and the digestibility. I know people have different ideas about like raw meat or like, you know, just sear the edge of the liver or like blend up your raw liver. But I personally have always loved like really slow cooked, fall apart, tender meat. And the Instant Pot does that for me. And then added benefit of making it cold and enjoying it. So yeah, that's been game changing for me, truly game changing. And the gelatin powder, adding that to different types of broths, like say you make like a potassium broth with carrots and whatever vegetables you add in, adding the gelatin, then you've got these amazing potassium rich gummies that you can, you know, munch on throughout the day. So yeah, it's game changing.
Yeah, I would say for me, it depends, like, so how busy I am with work, one, and I am a complete bachelor, so I only have myself to worry about, which is pretty nice. So like, I'll go through waves of like experimentation, which I usually do on the weekends. So like my Saturday and Sunday mornings are usually where I like to kind of like do the preparation or experiments. And then I'm also the type of person who can eat the exact same day, same thing every single day and not think twice about it. So that's usually what I do throughout the week. And then on the weekends, like I'll change it up and have some variables in there. But I would say like, as far as tools, the Instant Pot definitely comes in handy because I can just toss my rice in there and have it sitting there all day long. And then whenever I'm ready to attack it, then I can hit it. I would also say like the investment in a really good knife was like a game changer in the kitchen for me. Like it was huge.
Yeah. So easy to overlook. Also, do you two use a Vitamix?
Yes.
Okay. So Meg, you know, the power, like you can, it grinds through basically everything and it makes.
Yeah, that's such a, well, sorry, I cut you off. It made me think about one of the things that I had written down to talk about too was the, have you guys done this yet? The calcium saving of the eggshells.
That's exactly what I was about to say next. Okay, take away, Meg.
Yeah, I mean, so basically what Teresa and I will do is one of the things that you can do in order to just keep nutrients into your body is as you're cooking eggs in the morning or whatever, is to then, and I just keep mine in a jar or like a bowl by the stove because it's easy, but is to take the eggshells and then, you know, rinse them off and then put them in a bowl. And once you're done with that, you can actually take them through a heating process and then put them in the Vitamix, where it blends really well, and you can actually make calcium powder. And how are you, do you put it in like coffee or how do you do it?
So I've mixed it into ground beef inspired by Georgie actually to keep that calcium to phosphorus ratio high. And it basically is tasteless. Let's see, what else have I mixed into? I tried mixing into like a coffee egg yolk kind of shake. You could kind of taste the texture, but I like mixing it into meats the best right now. But that's honestly, with the Vitamix, it's so much more powder than any other blender hasn't been able to get it. So it's kind of like you almost have to wear like a mask while you're blending it just to make sure you're not not breathing in the fumes. But yeah, what have you mixed yours into?
Mine's coffee and it does have texture. It doesn't bother me. I'm not easily grossed out by that. So that is where I can just like deal with it. But I wrote that down because that's, I love the idea of paying attention to the phosphorus, but if you don't care about that and you're just like, oh, I hear that that's good for me. Yeah. I'd like that you won't be able to taste the texture. That's what I think is really good. Yeah. That's awesome. And what are you doing with that? Are you just doing like burgers or whatever you feel like?
Yep. If I remember and I've planned ahead, like I'll just mix a little bit in. And then also just adding them to capsules, because I know a lot of companies sell it. And when I was healing an injury, I first had ordered a calcium carbonate supplement. I'm like, wait a second, I can be making this. So just adding it into a gelatin capsule seems to work really well. And I didn't notice any of the GI upset too, because I know some people can get a little aggravated if it's, you know, because it's kind of like little shards of glass if you don't blend it up well enough. But if you use the Vitamix, stick it in a gelatin capsule or in a burger, it seems to be pretty easy.
I like that better. I like that a lot better.
Yeah.
How much do I usually toss on y'all's meats or whatever y'all are putting it in?
So I don't really measure anything. I don't measure either. When I'm baking, I'm just like, ooh, smelling, tasting, kind of checking it out by eye. Couple tablespoons in like a pound or like a package of ground beef. And it really just absorbs right away. So
yeah, I would say I just sprinkle it in my coffee. I don't do it every day. I just kind of do it like when I remember it and I see it. So yeah, I don't measure either. So I just kind of sprinkle it. Cause like I mentioned, in the coffee is how I was doing it. Cause it was just like easiest to do. And I don't know why. It was just like, I remembered it was in the morning. Yeah. It was there. What I'll probably do now is always do it to the meat. Again, the texture didn't necessarily bother me, but it was still, I like the idea of not tasting it at all. So that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I would, watch out for whenever you're doing that is that if you are, calcium tends to compete with zinc for absorption. So I wouldn't combine it with like, oysters or liver or anything like that, just to make sure that you're getting the zinc absorption.
That's so interesting to think about. I guess, yeah, it's kind of counteracting the grass-fed beef, but it also, I also noticed I was very low in calcium as I started tracking. I normally don't really track anything, but that was something I was very aware of when trying to heal an injury. So good to think about too, because again, we don't want to outcompete. You know, it's, I think a lot of people talk about like the importance of certain minerals, but then they forget that they're dancing together and they regulate each other. So very good point, Jayden.
Definitely. How do you like the colostrum, by the way? I know you were experimenting with that.
Yeah. So also just in a capsule form, but I mean, I added in a couple of different experiments after our talk. Was that a month ago or so? But Meg, I'm not sure. We haven't really talked about it. I tore my rotator cuff and fractured my tuberosity. And when I went to the urgent care, they were basically like, this doesn't look good. You're going to need surgery if you're going to ever lift your arm again. And I was like, no. So last episode, we talked a little bit about just healing and supporting ligaments, tendons, bones, everything. And I was so determined to not have to get cut. And it's been a month and a week. I have basically full movement. I can hang now. I can lift about 5 pounds. I can do push-ups. I can dance pretty freely. And I honestly, it's a mix of the colostrum, upping my calcium, upping my glycine, experimenting a little bit with the body protective compound, BPC-157, keeping stress as low as possible, and literally just moving it like in the most weird positions I possibly could. So, and red light. So colostrum, if I'm not sure, like I didn't notice any immediate or separate effect, but I feel like it was part of that synergy in terms of just keeping inflammation low, helping the body repair. And I'm kind of shocked right now. Like I really can't believe it. I even got on a road bike last weekend. I was like, this is amazing. So yeah, I would love to try it fresh one day. That's my goal. Maybe if I visit Denver or Boulder, I know there's a few farms that have it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So what are some staples that y'all tend to keep on hand whenever, like y'all always make sure that you'll have these specific things in the kitchen?
So fruit for one. The biggest thing for me is, again, I love that we all are in different seasons of our life, because any listener can kind of be like, that doesn't relate to me or that relates to me. But for me, it's, I'm go, 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 go. And my son's in soccer and my husband does baseball when he's home. So, we are constantly grabbing snacks and going. I'm a homebody, but I'm also very active and very, you know, we're always involved in something. So, in my house, the biggest thing for me is to focus on managing blood sugar for me and my family, and to make sure that we're getting a protein. It's really easy to grab carbs, but when you're on the go, 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 it's really hard, to always think about a protein. So with that, I always make sure that I have protein snacks, and, those look like, for us, I like Chomps. There's different beef jerky sticks. My favorite are Chomps. Epic Bar is another really great one. I like the Chomps better. So I'll keep like a beef jerky stick in our home for protein. I tend to have hard-boiled eggs. It's just easier to grab and go. That's a really good source of protein. And then gelatin gummies. Again, easy, yummy. My kid loves them. And I'm always thinking about a fruit. So I try to switch up my fruit a lot. I mean, it's easy with the seasons, you know, that of what's available. But we always have like oranges, or clementines or apples or pears, and just different snacks that can eat, you know, grapes that we can just grab, put in a baggie, grab a beef stick, and that's our snack. Or, we have, you know, I'll have cut up carrots already. If I'm on the go, I'm not going to make a carrot salad. So what I'll do is some carrots with salt, and then I'll grab, like I said, a hard-boiled egg or something alongside of that. And that will be my go-to. And so for me, it's the staples and having the snacks ready so that when I'm rushed, which, you know, I would love to say that I'm the most organized mom in the world and I'm never rushed, but that's just not really the reality. I'm usually kind of like, kid wakes up late, you know, we got caught up on something. So we're usually grab go, but having those snacks organized and my go-to of thinking protein, carb allows me to not only manage my blood sugar, which allows me to stay not hangry. I'm a better mom. I listen to my husband, not listen to my husband. I answer, you know, we're not fighting is what I'm
saying. He listens to you.
Just keep my husband listening to me more. No, I mean, we're communicating better is what I meant to say. There's no hangry feelings where we're getting irritated. And so by managing the blood sugar and having those go-to snacks ready for me, and my family it sets us all up for better. And even behavioral and kids, you know, there'll be, you know, if you're a mom out there and you're like, gosh, like my kid just kind of sometimes has, you know, we're on the go, we're running errands, which can be hard for a kid, but you also want to take a step back and think like, is there some blood sugar dysregulation going on? Is a kid, acting out because of, feeling hangry, you know, blood sugar spiking inappropriately, blood sugar is really low. And so grabbing those go-to snacks can really help mitigate any of those behavioral changes, for you or the kid. So for me, it's those go-to snacks.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I Our household is similar. So my husband's kind of like the token Ray Pete diet without even really having learned about it. Like he intuitively always went for like the chocolate milk, lots of chocolate, lots of orange juice. So we always have milk, orange juice, chocolate, eggs, and cheese, I'd say, are like the staples. If you open our fridge, there's always like an abundance overflowing, which is great. It's like you, Meg, it's nice to have something delicious, nutrient dense, easily accessible with such minimal prep. So yeah, that's the biggest cornerstone of our diet. But I also like having a stack of papayas at all times because they ripen at different rates. So I kind of have like two or three, sometimes four at once. And that right now has been game changing for me. I noticed my digestion is much better with papayas regularly in my diet, more so than even orange juice, honestly. What else are we having regularly? Coffee, for sure. That's definitely a staple. It's something, you know, it's just good to have it on hand, freshly roasted. Notice that makes a difference in terms of how it feels, how it tastes. Never underestimate the power of a mozzarella cheese stick. So that's something, talk about the grab and go. It's so delicious. It's so easily digestible. And again, yes, maybe some of the raw cheeses, they might be higher sources of vitamin E. Maybe you're getting some more of those heat sensitive nutrients, but there's something about the mozzarella cheese stick that is like both comforting, convenient, like put that in your backpack for a hike and bring like an orange and you're good to go. So those have been game changing. And, you know, for a while we were both going through massive amounts of Strauss ice cream. So our freezer always had some of that, like maybe one or two or three pints at a time. But now we've switched to the butter and date combo. So if you put the dates in the freezer, they taste, oh my gosh, it has like a fudgy like texture. And then you slice it in half while it's still frozen, put in the butter, and then it starts to solidify. Yeah, you guys got to try it. It's game changing.
Salt on top of it then?
Yep. Okay. Yep, exactly. That's been really good. Sometimes I put the butter in and then put it back in the freezer for like 5 minutes because texture, I'm all about the texture. It's just, wow.
Have you tried putting cinnamon on that?
No, I haven't. I've done lime, but wow. Now imagine like a lime, cinnamon, butter, date combination. I feel like would be so delicious because, you know, for a while, back in the day, I used to really like having Lara bars, like when I was out and about on hikes, whatever, but, you know, learning more about nuts and their lack of availability or lack of nutrition, the date butter combo seems like it's like the regal option. So I will definitely be thinking about adding cinnamon. That's great. But ooh, another combination that sounds a little weird is the butter with cucumber and basil. Something about the salty, sweet, like cooling crunch. I don't know. I'm sure there's some kind of mineral balance that my body is picking up on, but something.
So explain that to me. So you're cutting up I want to try it. You cut up the cucumber from the fridge, just put on the melted butter, or not melted, but you know, I keep my butter out. So just put on the butter and then do fresh basil on top.
Yep. And it's kind of like a little like Lunchable, but there's something about the textures and the flavors. You got to try it. It sounds weird, but like the freshness of the cucumber, maybe it's the potassium, maybe it's the magnesium that's boosting it. I don't know. It's great, especially with a little bit of salt. Yeah, it's amazing. The coconut oil and cilantro filled in a frozen date, also delicious. So play around. But yeah, it's...
You just get wild.
Yeah, I do have some funny tendencies for sure with flavors, but you know, sometimes where you really crave something and then you eat it and then your body's like, all right, set. Like something about those sweet, salty, herby, fresh combinations feel like they fit right in with that blood sugar balance. It's like filling in some kind of mineral gap for me at least. So yes, dates have become a huge staple and you know, they're very portable too, which is great for the adventurous or go lifestyle, you know. Stick a cheese stick in there, why not?
Yeah, I would say some of the staples that I have. So Umzu, we have our Umzu bars. So it's just like Most of them have five ingredients. My favorite is like the blueberry muffin. So it has like blueberries, dates, egg whites, MCT oil, and I think they have something else in there, but super, oh, collagen. So they have like 15, 20 grams of collagen in each of them too. So that's super easy. I have plenty of access to those. So I like taking one of those, or like the Epic bars with the That's It bars. So just like the regular little fruit bars. Like those are really good if I'm going on a hike or if I'm going skiing or something like that. And then I really like keeping masa harina on hand. I love pancakes, and for some reason, it's almost like a cornbread pancake that's really good. So the masa is definitely a key for me. I would say I typically always have some kind of like maple syrup or honey on hand too. That way, if I need to sweeten something up really fast, like I have it right there. I always have plenty of rice on hand, especially white rice. Let's see. I think I also like to experiment with different kinds of adaptogenic teas. So like I have an ashwagandha tea. I have like a Tulsi tea. I have like a ginger tea. All of those are super good. And like, I've also found that like combining different ones too is really fun, and it like mixes up the taste really well too. So I enjoy that.
Funny timing with ashwagandha. What's that, Meg? Have you started experimenting with it recently? This sounds a little bit lagging, but.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. I just, same thing. Ashwagandha tea, just started doing it. When are you guys taking it? I'm just drinking it at nighttime because it feels most natural to me, like to wind down and have something warm. But when are you guys?
Yeah, I've tried to comb the studies a little bit. It wasn't too conclusive about when to take it. But since it's adaptogenic, I'm like, well, I'll take it like kind of spaced throughout the day. So I actually got my husband ordered some of the dried root, and I've been putting it in my French press. And then at night I take like a teeny bit of just a tincture of it. And I haven't noticed improvement in my sleep, but I've noticed I just feel way more balanced throughout the day. And we just started this last week. So funny timing. I actually was reading a post from Hans Armada on Men Elite. I think you had him on recently. Mm-hmm. My mind was blown. I'm like, it mimics T3. It boosts testosterone. It lowers cortisol. It increases muscle mass. I'm like, sign me up. Let's go. So yeah, very exciting to
Were talking about this, was it the tea or the oil?
The studies use different extractions. Like some studies show that if it's extracted in alcohol versus extracted in water, different effects on the brain versus cancer. Other studies show that it synergizes with things like ginger or Tulsi. So kind of cool to start playing around. But yeah, these herbs, I think a lot of people do stack them because they work on different areas. Like I can't remember if the ashwagandha, and maybe Jayton, you'd know this, but does it also lower some of the serotonin receptor activity? Or trying to remember what I read about that.
There's actually some really interesting studies on ashwagandha. So the highest quality ashwagandha, if you're going to get like an encapsulated version, is going to be the KSM-66 ashwagandha.
Can you say that one more time slower?
KSM-66. And it's an organic extract. I think it's either CO2 extracted or water extracted from the plant itself. I'll actually go through periods of mega dosing with it because it's really good for like exercise performance and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's some clinical studies with it showing like that independent of diet and exercise regimen, like there was a 3.5% decrease in body fat percentage. There was like a 20% increase in testosterone levels and like a whole bunch of crazy stuff. But there's also some studies that show that supplementing with ashwagandha can act as an antidepressant. And I think that it works opposite of the SSRIs. So I think that it has a mechanism that works synergistically with a lot of the anti-serotonin effects of different other kinds of compounds too. But Herb Farm also has a really good ethanol extract it's directly from the root.
That's what I've been using. I love my husband very much. That's why I married him. But the man doesn't listen to me with everything. So again, he's a firefighter and he's at one of the busiest stations in Atlanta. So he's up all night. Experiencing very traumatic, crazy things. He's in a very low income area. You name it, he has experienced it, very gruesome things. So that is raising stress levels and cortisol. Not sleeping is raising stress levels and cortisol in addition to all the schooling. And then right now he's in a clinical overnight. So it's like a 48-hour clinical. And so not sleeping. And then he goes directly into shift, not sleeping. All this to say is the one thing I'm trying to get him to do is at least take ashwagandha. I think it can be really helpful. Do you know anything Jayden, do you have anything to speak on that?
It does have some really interesting anti-cortisol effects, but do you mean for like an anti-fatigue agent?
I'm looking at it as like not an end all be like answer to everything, but the amount of estrogen that's rising, serotonin that's rising, cortisol that's rising, in his body, inflammation, all these things. If I can get him to take, like, I am thinking a little bit of Shilajit and a little bit of ashwagandha, because it is really hard for him to, we're working at, he's a bodybuilder, healthy. So like it's a lot of, chicken and rice, I can get him to eat a little bit of like high quality sugar here and there. But I'm thinking the ashwagandha can kind of be at least one component that can kind of mitigate some of these higher areas. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that along with phosphatidylserine would be something else to look into. It's usually under PS-100 whenever you're looking for a supplement. That is a phospholipid that is very dense in the brain, and it has some really interesting anti-stress effects as well. It's actually a really interesting nutrient for bodybuilding as well. So ashwagandha and phosphatidylserine together make for a really nice stack for a muscle building stack as well as an anti-stress stack. And I think that might be why it has some of its muscle building effects.
Yeah. Sorry to get off topic on that.
No problem.
No, actually that got me really inspired too, just thinking about how to counteract the negative effects of lack of sleep and then the kind of catch-22 of heightened cortisol, heightened inflammation. But really cool research on creatine lowering the effects of sleep deprivation, which is really cool. And then same with rhodiola, another herb that's commonly taken with ashwagandha, and that one can lower the feelings of fatigue. And I think it's more anti-adrenaline, I think. But that might be something to look into too. I'm not sure about the androgenic or estrogenic effects of that though. So maybe he needs to look into that. But creatine, I think, is one of these underrated tools. And some people are like, oh, you don't need it if you're eating plenty of red meat. But the studies are just so cool. It's like just a little supplementation of it can be so anti-stress and help ATP production, which again, if he's tired and sleep deprived and inflamed, I'm sure his mitochondria are probably a little bit wobbly. So that could be something to just make sure he has extra availability of energy.
Yeah. And that would go for like anybody that's in a crazy season. So even though I'm talking about like my husband who is working like an insane amount, I think 108 hours is like what he's clocking in on most weeks right now. It ends in June, but, anybody that's going through a crazy season, it would be worthwhile to kind of maybe experiment and look at these, and maybe keep in your home. If we're talking about kitchen staples, what I'm thinking I'll probably do, again, I'm enjoying the ashwagandha and I like the tea version. It's just easier for me to do. I don't really enjoy taking supplements. So that could be something that, we're never in a season of life where things are perfect and things are just, they're up and down, right? We have seasons where it's really smooth. There's not a lot going on, but we know life is going to bring something. So I think the other thing to think about when we're talking about a kitchen staple is not only things to manage blood sugar, things that are easy, that are nutrient dense, but also things that help mitigate stress. So like ashwagandha, and then you can just easily pull to that. You don't have to think about that is really nourishing for the body. And that almost sets you up in a way of like, feeling rather than defeated because of the stress, proactive in the season of stress. So I would say while you're doing all the kitchen staples, thinking ahead of like maybe keeping magnesium, trying out maybe some of these supplements that we talked about or teas and herbs, and then seeing what works for you. And then, so while you're getting hit in that season, that's always going to happen, you know, in life, you can easily have those go-tos and it's not having to come up with a quick resort. You're already pro-reactive and moving forward too. So just a thought.
Definitely. I would say, so one thing that I would highly recommend while it's fresh in my mind is forskolin is also another one. So Coleus forskoli, it increases cyclic AMP and it's actually been shown to help increase thyroid function as well as lady cell function. And then whenever...
Are you sure using the show notes? So I can go back and look at them all because I'm writing it too. But would you do that in the show notes?
I usually have a transcript that I toss in there.
There we go.
Yeah. Perfect. And so like command F and then I'll go in there and like whenever I'm searching for something that I talked about with somebody, that's how I do it.
Oh, smart.
I think that's the main reason that I enjoy the podcast so much is like I'm building my own repertoire of information I can refer back to. So that's pretty nice. But also with the adaptogens, they show that some of the most significant benefits are shown whenever you take it in microcycles. So taking it on like 5 days on, 2 days off is going to have more significant benefits than taking it for 7 days a week. So like if your husband has to go on like 48 hours of like in the fire station and then he has the other 5 days off, then, you know, taking those 2 days off so he doesn't have to worry about it while he's on call. And then like, you know, taking it while he's at home and kind of has the time to do that would be very beneficial.
Wow. Cool. Didn't know that. Yeah. I was trying to kind of intuitively experiment on myself and my husband and trying to figure out like based off of how our symptoms are changing, how our sleep is changing, but good to know. I'm going to start pulsing that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like I definitely have to look at the transcripts and go back to all of this. It's so exciting and interesting. And also like, even as somebody that loves this stuff, it does tend to be overwhelming when there's so many different options. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm going to have to go back and look at that one because I like the idea of him having to do something when he's off versus on, because when he's on, that's the hardest part. I'm like, hey man, you just put out a fire, especially because it's like a apartment building or anything outside and it's Atlanta heat. It's like you're burning through minerals, but I can like barely get him to take trace minerals or something like that to put in his water. So taking something well off is actually going to be an easier stick to.
Yeah,
definitely. Whenever it comes to supplements, some of the, I guess since we're talking about kitchen staples, I'll go ahead and toss in my supplement staples while I'm in there too, because I keep them in my kitchen. So it might kind of fall into those categories. So I always have vitamin K on hand. I think that that's very important. Magnesium. I am personally a fan of the gluconate and bisgluconate. I can make the liquid version of like the magnesium, whatever it is, but the regular magnesium supplementation tends to work pretty well for me. Also, Meg, feel free to hop off whenever you want to, no problem. So vitamin K, magnesium. I also have some vitamin D on hand. I know that some people aren't fans of it, but I tend to find that vitamin D supplementation helps with my cognition specifically, so I like to have that on hand. And then other than that, it's usually like Cortinon by Georgie. I like to have that on hand. So like if I'm like in a really stressed out state, the progesterone and DHEA makes a huge difference, not only for sleep, but just for like well-being. So like if you're having trouble just kind of like pulling your mind out of something and like turning off that go, go, go mechanism, the progesterone and DHEA mix is very, very good.
You reminded me too, in terms of staples, and I'm not sure what made me think of this, but just having butter and coconut oil on hand always, like coconut oil you can use for literally everything, but it's nice to be like simplifying the kitchen experience while you're cooking, like also moisturizing, and just butter is just so good to have on hand. Getting those fat soluble vitamins, it tastes amazing. It's so versatile as well. And in terms of other supplements, I've been experimenting a little bit with kind of dosing aspirin throughout the week, taking some days on, some days off. I do notice improvement in cognition. I feel way more able to focus, and focusing is normally not an issue, but sometimes I'll get more excited about something that, you know, might be more fun, kind of like a wandering mindset. But I find myself just much more, way more balanced. My brain metabolism feels better with aspirin, especially if I've had it like after breakfast, after my milky sweet coffee. And methylene blue is another interesting one too. And I know it's not like a kitchen staple, but more of like a anti-stress staple to pulse throughout the week, just to keep the body more resilient so that we have more relaxation when we are stepping into the kitchen. Cause I feel like with cooking, we can get in such a routine that we forget to even check in and ask ourselves what sounds good or like what might be new and exciting to try, because it's like, okay, just do what's easy. Like chop up that sausage, go, 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 versus, oh, I hope that wasn't too loud, but versus sometimes like when we are in a lower stress state, all of a sudden it's like, wow, like maybe if I wrap this chicken thigh with bacon and then bake it with a side of caramelized shallots, things that we wouldn't necessarily have, but maybe our body might need if we slow down enough to listen. So, yeah.
Well, I'll share mine and then I'm going to hop off here and let you guys chat. But my staples of as of late, I may freak you guys out a little bit, but I've actually been experimenting with aspirin as well. Absolutely love it. I think I notice a massive difference, and I love taking the aspirin. So I've been taking the aspirin, Shilajit I've been taking, and then I keep magnesium bicarbonate on. In addition to that, I also do trace minerals. So I will do trace minerals pretty much in any time I drink water, just sip on it. Sometimes I'll put it in my orange juice or put it in my son's orange juice as well. Beef liver, if I'm not eating raw beef liver, I keep beef liver capsules. And again, for any parent out there, I break it up, the capsule, and put some in my son's orange juice, cause that way he can get beef liver. I don't really enjoy the taste of cooking, or eating it. Liver pate I enjoy, but not really eating, liver in general, like liver and onions. My brother loves it. I wish I did. And this is going to be the one that may freak you guys out, but I've been taking cod liver oil. So I have been experimenting, but I've been, so if you don't know, I'm in Morley Robbins root cause protocol course currently for school. And it's really interesting. And the one that I am taking, he recommends, and I was talking about it with Lauren, who actually, you know, is a frequent guest on here as well. And she says it's actually more monounsaturated fat than it is a higher PUFA. And the reason I like it is because it's rich in retinol and vitamin D. I had recently gotten lab work back, and me and both my husband and I, aren't we all, iron overload. And part of my story is also that subclinical hypothyroidism. So I like the retinol in the butter. I like the retinol in the heavy cream, but I also really like it in the cod liver oil. So I'm kind of self-experimenting. Now, I would never use any other brand. I'm very careful about that. And it's something that I'm experimenting with. So I'm interested to go back and see where my levels are at on blood panels and see how that has impacted it. Morley really likes the fact that it has D in there as well, because A and D need to go together. Yeah. Whole different topic here that we could dive into, but he suggests, based on, you know, research that he found, that when you supplement with D alone, that's what can mess up with the retinol status and the metabolism of retinol. So that's why he does enjoy the cod liver with the A and D, and getting the body to move iron. So basically, retinol pushes copper into the cell. You need copper to work different enzymes to move iron. So for somebody like me, and if you know my story, again, a longer story to get into, but I've had miscarriages, and you know, we live a pretty crazy life. I was on birth control for like 12 years. And even though I've been a nutritional therapist now for years, I still went into like more of the paleo side of it and really missed the retinol and the high dairy. So I'm really interested to see how this shows up in my lab work. So that was the crazy thing that I wanted to throw in there. And I'll let y'all talk about that if you want to dive into it more. And I'm just going to silently, just leave, but look forward to, you know, connecting more on all this stuff.
Sounds good. Have a good one, Meg.
Bye, Meg.
While it's fresh in my head, one of the things that I would recommend if you're going to supplement with cod liver oil like that is to combine it with like coconut oil or butter and then a little bit of vitamin E. And that should almost completely mitigate the oxidation of the possible PUFA content within the cod liver oil while still getting the benefits of the retinol and the vitamin D. So highly recommend that for any listeners who are interested in that. And then another herb that came to mind was Dopa macuna. Have you ever heard of Dopa macuna?
So I remember looking into this for depressive type symptoms, but that was before I had any understanding of excess serotonin. And at the time I was actually on a very high dose of Prozac and had been for a while. So never did as much digging as I want to, but please enlighten me.
Yes. So Dopa macuna is high in a precursor to dopamine that is called levodopa or L-dopa. And it actually comes from what is known as the velvet bean. And a lot of indigenous people will actually eat this, not the outside of it, because the outside of the velvet bean is actually high in serotonin. So if you touch it, you'll get super itchy. So you got to watch out for that. But whenever the actual bean, they'll grind it up and eat it, and it acts as like an antidote for snake venom. So if you get bit by a snake, it'll like mitigate some of the effects of the snake venom, which is really interesting. But it's also it's a serotonin antagonist and pro-dopamine, and it's been shown to help with libido, increased testosterone, decrease different stress markers and stuff like that, and just like general well-being along with like cognition enhancement and stuff like that too. So definitely recommend looking into Dopa macuna.
Do you take it in just a capsule form or a tincture? What's mm-hmm. your go-to?
I usually take the capsule form just because like Umzu has a Dopa macuna supplement, so I get it. I just get it for free most of the time. That is good. I haven't found a liquid tincture of the Dopa macuna specifically that I would recommend. I'm sure there's one out there. I just haven't looked for it. So I would definitely, if there is one, definitely send it to me if you happen to come across it.
Yeah. And you just reminded me again on the topic of just boosting dopamine, lowering serotonin, L-theanine specifically, and trying to find different teas. I know a lot of people are anti-tea for different reasons, but I tend to react very well to them, especially if I have coffee and tea in the morning. But something about the L-theanine, I noticed just feeling again more of that zen-like state where it's so easy to focus. And I actually gravitate to wanting to do more work because I feel like it unlocks some kind of creativity. It's like that state of the brain where you just want to make things and explore and research and write. So that's been really helpful. And I think a lot of people, if they're still struggling to tolerate caffeine or convinced that they can't tolerate coffee, L-theanine can help to mitigate some of that jitteriness if the fuel isn't the issue. Curious if you've experimented with that at all.
Yes. I thoroughly enjoy L-theanine to take the edge off of the caffeine. Generally, whenever it comes to the teas, I would say if the tea comes from a root rather than the leaf, then you're probably in pretty good hands for the most part. But L-theanine in combination with glycine is actually very sedative. And so I actually use a little bit of chamomile with glycine and then toss the L-theanine in there, and you will be conked out if you're having trouble sleeping. Like the onset of sleep is significant.
I need to try that because I've done the chamomile and glycine combo, but not the L-theanine. That sounds perfect. Wow. I'm imagining just like a full body weight suit. dive right into bed or crawl into bed.
Definitely sip on that in front of a red light right before you go to sleep, and you'll just go into hibernation mode.
Melt. Hibernation mode without the PUFAs. That sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. But so what, you actually have a lot of good recipes that you post on your Instagram. Like, where do you get some of your inspiration from?
So Jayton, that's funny that you say that, because I kind of joke about that. Like, my pancake recipe is like a couple bananas, throw in some eggs, like dash in some collagen. I really don't measure, but let's see. I guess with the pancakes specifically, I've always been a pancake person. There's something about them, the nostalgia, the comfort, the memories that come up with like pancake breakfasts and cold pancakes the day after.
Pancakes or waffles?
You know, if I had a waffle maker, I'd probably go for both, because I love the texture. Again, the textures. But right now, for ease, we don't have a waffle maker, so lots of pancakes. But Ray Pete's milk powder pancakes have been an inspiration, and just playing around with variations. I've made a milk powder masa combination, which is amazing because the masa actually holds it together a little bit better. It doesn't burn as quickly. I like the texture. It's not as, have you made the milk powder?
I have not made the milk powder yet.
If they can get like a little bit dense, which again is not a problem for me, but a lot of people found them not quite appetizing. So it's been fun to choose and create different variations with that. But honestly, just experimentation, because I've always loved food and just trying new, maybe funny combinations that my brain gets excited about, especially with certain herbs and like the sweet and salty combinations. But you know, I'm finding inspiration from people that are posting things from certain colors that attract me, because I tend to go through phases too with craving certain colors. Like for a while it's yellow foods, and then I'll go back to like browns and greens for a bit. So I really just let my intuition guide me and then start experimenting. But recipes really don't exist in this house. So
okay, awesome. I would say one that's worth experimenting with is sourdough French toast.
Whoa.
It is delicious. Like whenever I have the time to sit down and actually make some French toast, it's just beat some eggs in a bowl with a little bit of cinnamon and then toss your sourdough in there and fry it up. And it's delicious. It's so good.
Okay. At first I thought you were making your own sourdough, which is something I've tried and failed miserably at, but yes, we get bread from a bakery right downtown, and I've actually developed the habit, and this sounds kind of weird, but when the bread gets a little bit stale, I will steam it or boil it on the stove, and then I'll just add some milk, maybe some salt, some honey, and almost have it like a porridge. It's delicious. It's kind of like a deconstructed French toast, you know, throw in some eggs, why not? So yeah, there's something about like the mushy textures. And again, I'm sure this ties right into neurotransmitters and, you know, gut function and everything, but I've always been drawn to more like mushy type comfort foods. Maybe you can relate to like biscuits and gravy. I don't know if that was a staple in Texas.
That's a Southern staple for sure.
Yeah. There's something, I mean, talking about like that feel good dopamine, oxytocin, like that balanced feeling of like serenity. The mushy foods can get right to that versus like a cold salad. You don't really get that same warm feeling. So playing around with different textures and temperatures, especially trying to get after certain feelings, like soaking and fermenting oats and then cooking those, I find to be a really good bedtime snack. Again, you can add in some collagen, you know, put a nice slab of butter, maybe some maple, some honey, lots of salt. Very sleep inducing. I wonder what that would be like with, you know, adding the L-theanine, maybe some extra glycine as well.
Yeah.
Things to try. Awesome.
So other than the Instant Pot, what are some tools that you see yourself using almost on a daily basis?
Yeah, I keep it super simple. Like if I'm not using the Instant Pot, literally just like you said, a really good knife, just a simple frying pan, not too worried about the cast iron. I don't cook anything acidic. My husband tends to cook most of his eggs and such in the cast iron. I just use a normal. I think it's, is it stainless steel? I remember checking and it was okay. Let me think for 1 second. I was going to say a teaspoon measurement for just measuring my glycine or measuring certain supplements and, you know, measuring my creatine that I'm experimenting with in throughout the day. But really, we keep it so simple. What about you?
An electric kettle, like a stainless steel electric kettle, is something that has, it's a game changer for your coffee making for sure. If you do any kind of pour over or French press.
Funny timing. We had probably the same one as you. You know, you set it to the specific temperature, especially, yeah, for coffee, for teas. It broke recently. So we went to, you know, kind of the old school stove kettle. But yeah, there is something nice about precision and just dialing things in, especially with coffee. I feel like once you get to the point where your taste buds are really looking for something specific, it is nice to play around with different flavors and different temperatures and different extraction times to see, you know, how you feel, how your brain feels.
Definitely.
But you know, you kind of caught me off guard because I realized, like, I'm looking in my kitchen right now, like super simple. Like, I've got an old cutting board from my mom. It's like a slab of wood. I cut like all my fruit and my cheese on there. I've got a lot of mason jars that I'll use, and sometimes I'll put like one of those blender bottle mixers in the mason jar and just mix up something. Like this morning I mixed in an egg yolk with my coffee morning elixir and it worked so well. I normally blend that up to get it nice and frothy, but you know, I'm trying to strengthen my my rotator cuff. So I was just shaking that around, practicing my bartender skills. Perfect. But yeah, you know, a non-toxic, non-scented dish soap, since I'm doing all the dishes by hand, has made a huge difference. Doesn't irritate my skin whatsoever. Having really simple, clean salt on hand. Yeah, it's making me, this whole episode is making me more appreciative of just the simplicity. You know, you can make such delicious food. Like, I feel zero need whatsoever to go out anymore just because I'm like, you know, give me some butter, some good meat, you know, maybe some potatoes, some white rice. I'm good to go.
Definitely. Yeah. I would say my air fryer has also been something that I utilize quite frequently as well.
People have mentioned making bacon in that. I haven't had access to try it, but I'm really interested. What's your go-to?
Potato wedges are delicious in there. If you got to figure out how to time it properly and like dial in the temperature just right. But once you figure that out, they tend to come out almost perfect every single time. Wow. The one that I have isn't very consistent as far as like the heat distribution throughout the inside of what you actually cook it. So like halfway through, I'll have to like turn them around, because the heat tends to flow like into the back and then go around towards the front after it hits the bottom. So that's kind of interesting. But other than that, it does a great job. Let's see, I'm trying to think what else. So people make fun of me because, orange juice was another staple that I had in my fridge. I always have like 6 to 8 jugs of orange juice in my fridge at any given time. And people always come over and make fun of me because my fridge is just full of jugs of orange juice. But I also eat out of like a giant stainless steel bowl that people tend to make fun of me of as well. Cause like, I can mix just about anything in that. And it's so big that I never spill it whenever I'm like sitting on my couch eating or anything like that. Like, it's super easy. Wow. And I only have one dish to clean too. So that's super nice.
It's all about that simplicity. I like that. You know, even just like the classic, like cooking your eggs in the pan and eating it right out of it. Why not? You know, I feel like with this whole pro-metabolic mindset and pro-metabolic inspired eating, the main goal is to be able to live your life with more energy and creativity and freedom. So I love when you said kitchen hack, I'm like, yes, this is it, because it can be so easy. Like, we don't need to be eating out and, you know, exposing ourselves to a lot of those rancid seed oils when it can just be super simple at home. I love just the image of you with a huge bowl, just, you know, good to go, clean it up, heading on out to the mountains. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. I would like to get like one of those thumb rings for my book too, that hold the pages so I can eat with one hand and like read with the other hand. That's the next thing that's going to be on my Amazon list too.
The real test will be switching it up, eating with your opposite hand and seeing if you can hold the book with the other one and just, you know, mm-hmm. challenge some of those, just, you know, when you get stuck in a routine, sometimes you forget to notice how weird it feels to do things differently. And then when you finally choose to do something differently, the brain is kind of excited, but also a little confused. I feel like that's a good thing to do while we're eating, even like chopping with the other hand or eating with your non-dominant hand. It opens up a new experience. Your food might even taste differently. I mean, I probably sound like I've gone off the rail here, but really there's so much creativity to add into what might feel mundane, or like if there's a sense of obligation with cooking, like, oh man, I have to eat today, like make it fun. Why not make it fun? So, yeah.
Definitely. Well, Teresa, I want to be respectful of your time. Where can people find you on social media, website, all of that good stuff?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I am most active on Living Roots Wellness on Instagram. Also been putting up some YouTube videos for the tapping, which we've talked about in previous podcasts, which is one of the main techniques I use for people that, you know, have tried everything. They're probably doing a more pro-metabolic approach because they've literally tried everything. But oftentimes when there is lingering issues and the body isn't really recovering, even when the inputs are pretty good, getting to the root cause of some of the emotional issues seems to be that final little adjustment. So yeah, that's also Living Roots Wellness. My website is also Living Roots Wellness. And yeah, feel free to, you can just message me directly on Instagram and I'm pretty responsive for the most part.
Heck yeah. I know that I personally enjoy your Instagram. So keep up the great work on there.
Thanks so much. Likewise.
Definitely. And for those of you interested in any of Meg's stuff, her website is meglangston.com and her Instagram, is that also Meg Langston as well? Do you know?
Yep.
All right. Awesome. So make sure to check her out as well. And we'll talk to y'all next time. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, and leave a comment down below if you want us to cover a different topic.